You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All of you Foxborough faithful, you are now locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast. Today is Friday, October 16th, 2020, and we're about to dive right in with breaking news here on your daily home for news, notes, and analysis, infused with the occasional opinion on your six-time Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Today's episode of Locked On Patriots is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment, or maybe overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Once again, Patriots fans, breaking news here on this Friday episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast. My name is Mike DeBate, your host of Locked On Patriots. And even though all of you know how much I love my Godfather quotes, this is one I would rather not have to use that often. Just when we thought we were out, it pulls us back in, and that it is COVID-19. Your New England Patriots have once again returned at least one positive case for COVID-19. At the time I'm recording this podcast, they're waiting on another, possibly more, but this is definitely not the news we wanted to hear on this Friday before the Patriots are scheduled to host the Denver Broncos on Sunday. This game has already been rescheduled twice, and we all have to entertain the possibility that it might be rescheduled yet again. All had been quiet on the Patriots news front until about 11 a.m. when Ryan Spagnoli of Pat's Pulpit of SB Nation reported that he was hearing that more positive COVID-19 cases could have been coming for the Patriots. And Ryan had this before anyone. I really want to give him the credit for the scoop on this. And just a little over an hour later, ESPN's Field Yates and Mike Reese both confirmed the story and reported that the Patriots would indeed be canceling practice and all player media availability for Friday. Now, earlier I had said that the Patriots had at least one positive confirmed test and that they were waiting on a second positive test result. That story was later corroborated by Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. So the Patriots have at least one confirmed as of Friday afternoon, and they're still waiting on additional test results. Taking it one step further, Evan Lazar of CLNS Media, who's been a frequent guest here on Locked On Patriots, reported that the Patriots in fact knew about this positive test last night on Thursday. Under the NFL's rules and protocols, they would have been allowed to practice today using masks and those Oakley face shields, but Bill Belichick decided against that out of caution, Patriots completely canceling practice, going to all virtual meetings, and of course canceling all media availability for the players. We're now being told that if in fact Sunday's game against the Broncos takes place as scheduled, the first opportunity that the media will get to talk to the players will be after the game. And right now, the NFL looks as if they're trying to do everything they can to get this game in, folks. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting just a little after 2 p.m. on Friday that the NFL is telling both the Broncos and the Patriots to be prepared to play on Sunday. There's no question about it. The Broncos definitely want to play. We know the Patriots want to play. Both teams are out of byes. So the bye week flexibility that both teams had last week at this time completely gone out the window. Schefter went on to say that no other contingencies have been discussed at this time by the NFL. So as of the time I'm recording this podcast today, it looks as if Sunday's game will take place as scheduled. Of course, if the last few weeks have been any indication, a lot can change between now and game time, so definitely keep a sharp eye out for the very latest, and we'll keep you updated here on Locked On Patriots as soon as more information is made available. As for the Patriots, it's been a roller coaster of news, really since October 2nd when Cam Newton first found out that he had tested positive for COVID-19. Just when it looked like the team was going to be okay, then we find out about Bill Murray's positive test. Then Stephon Gilmore tests positive. Then we find out about Byron Cowart's positive test. And all the while, the Patriots have had to reschedule their matchup with the Broncos twice. Just when it looked like things were starting to move in the right direction for the Patriots, you got Cam Newton coming back off of COVID reserve, Stephon Gilmore activated off of COVID reserve, these guys are out there practicing, and the Patriots are looking to be at as full strength as they possibly could be under the circumstances. This news hits on Friday morning, and as adamant as the NFL is to want to get this game in, folks, and I believe they're going to do everything they can, if there are either any further positive tests or if one of these two teams or the league itself feel that the risk to players' health is just too great, then we may be looking at another postponement, and that would really be a devastating thing for both teams. Now, one piece of the record to set straight here, and again, I want to credit Evan Lazar of CLNS Media for bumping this up earlier, and that's regarding Dietrich Wise. Yesterday here on the pod, I had indicated that Dietrich had been held out of practice for quote-unquote non-injury-related issues. As soon as word of Ryan Spagnoli's initial report started to circulate throughout social media, we started to see a lot of speculation that maybe it was indeed Dietrich Wise. Well, shortly after the report became official, Evan tweeted out that the player was indeed not Dietrich Wise. He was told by his team source that Wise wasn't at practice yesterday out of precaution. Evan further reported that Dietrich was in fact doing fine, and the expectation was that he will be available to play on Sunday. Of course, we're all hoping that both teams are available to play on Sunday. And folks, there is still a lot of news still to come on this. So that is the very latest from Foxborough right now when it comes to the status of Sunday's game, what the Patriots have done, what they might do, and once again, as more information becomes available, I will do my very best to bring you the latest right here on Locked On Patriots. But fear not, because as we all wait and see what the fate of Sunday's game will be, we have a very special treat for you here today on the pod. A masterclass in Foxborough Finance, being conducted by the great and powerful Wizard of Benzon himself, my good friend, the Pats cap, Miguel Benzon. And in addition to Miguel's thoughts on what we hope will be a game coming up on Sunday, folks, Miguel takes a much deeper dive into the Patriots' financial situation, including the potential of a contract extension for Cam Newton. What might that deal look like? And is it more beneficial to the Patriots, or Cam, or both, to get the deal done now rather than wait until the season is over? Miguel and I also discuss the upcoming November 3rd trade deadline, and if the Patriots might be in the market for a marquee player. Maybe a wide receiver like a Julio Jones or a Michael Thomas, or maybe even a high-profile tight end. What considerations go into making a deal of that type? And because this is the wonderful year that has been 2020, should we expect to see more activity at the trade deadline this year, or less? Last but certainly not least, Miguel, as always, graciously allowed Locked On Patriots to be the forum by which he drops his pearls of wisdom that you can only find right here. Not on any other radio station, not on any other podcast, not even on the man's very own Twitter account. Only right here on Locked On Patriots. And trust me, folks, Miguel does not disappoint in that department. So sit tight, settle in, and let my good friend, the great and powerful Wizard of Benzon himself, whisk you away to a break from reality, and based on the breaking news this morning, folks, we all can use that, when the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. Locked On listeners, I've always thought that breaks in the action are the perfect time to evaluate how far you've come and adjust your game plan accordingly to get where you need to go, achieve your goal, break through your wall, if you will. But sometimes you need a little bit of extra energy to help get there. If I'm being honest, it happens to me more often than not. And when I need that extra energy boost plus protein, I turn to the same amazing group that brought us the world's fastest growing protein bar. Built Go, the incredibly tasty energy plus protein gel that makes you the best you at whatever you do. Whether it's a mental or a physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. First, it's easily portable, available in 1 1/2 ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever. Carry it in your golf bag to power through the back nine, or simply put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go gives you that energy, plus it's natural, so it's better for the body. Available in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. And it's loaded with good stuff to help ignite my motivation. Ingredients like beta-alanine, honey, a kick of caffeine, vitamins B3, B6, and B12, along with collagen protein to help promote joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 30% off your next order. Don't delay, do it today. That's BuiltGo.com and promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go! Patriots fans, the Pats are set to take on the Denver Broncos, 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday at Gillette Stadium. And while that might be the story of the week, the finances of your New England Patriots continues to be a hot topic in and around Foxborough. And when it comes to the Patriots' bottom line, it's time to talk business. New England Patriots business. And we always need the definitive word on any and all things Patriots salary cap. We are seeking today the wisdom and counsel of the great and powerful Wizard of Benzon, as I like to call him. You know him as Pat's Cat. He is my good friend, Miguel Benzon, and it's my honor to bring his wisdom and counsel back to the podcast today. Welcome back to Locked On Patriots, Miguel. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, I love coming on the show. How can I not love coming on the show after that introduction? I swear. I have said this every time I go on the show. This is the favorite day of the podcast. I'm all caught up. Folks are going to have a great time. I got some, like I always have promised when I go on a podcast, I'm going to kind of try to share some things I only say on this podcast, won't say on Twitter. So let's go, Mike. Let's go. Let's do it.
Absolutely. And I, for one, can't wait. No better way to close the week in style, as I said, to close the show yesterday, than having you on, my friend. It's always a blessing to talk football with you. Always a blessing to call you a friend. And to me, this is a great, great way to end the week. So let's get down to it, buddy. According to your calculations, which, again, folks, the most trusted in the business, bar none, the Patriots currently have $23,288,413 in available cap space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reports out there indicate that they're expected to be pretty flushed with cap space in the offseason. And, Miguel, yeah. I know we're only a quarter of the way through the Patriots season currently in 2020, but the hot topic when it comes to Patriots finances is Cam Newton and a potential contract extension. And he's looked every bit of what the Patriots had hoped for and much more. Really looking great on the field, solid presence in the locker room. Cam has been everything as advertised, without any question. And we're all happy to see him back on the field on Sunday. But even though it seems like a logical fit for he and the Patriots to remain here in New England, come together, both sides, as we all know, it's going to come down to money. And that's where we need your wisdom and counsel, my friend. For the benefit of everyone in Pat's Nation, take us through the best-case scenario for the Patriots and Cam to come together in an agreement. And in your opinion, do you think either side or maybe both might be better suited by trying to get this done in season as opposed to waiting until the end of the season?
It's better for Cam Newton to do this deal in season. The sooner you get the money, the better off you can invest it. The reason the Patriots would want to do the deal now rather than next year is you sign him now, you extend him, you have some signing bonus provision on the 2020 cap, all right? So let's just say 3 to 4 years from now, it doesn't work out, all right? And you have to cut him or trade him. That's one less year of signing probation on the dead money if you sign him now rather than signing him in 2021. So you benefit the future by signing them now in 2020, because you decrease your chances of having a high impact dead money impact on the cap, all right. Plus, if you sign them now, okay, he might be able to give him more of a discount because he's given up. You're taking on his injury risk. I don't think the Patriots will do a deal like week six, but I think they could deal closer to the end of the season. All right, and that's the best time to reach a deal with a player, because you get the signing preparation for a cap for that on the cap while he's for maybe 1 or 2 weeks. All right, I don't think the good deal could be now. I think it's more likely to be happening in the future, if it's going to happen at all this year. I think they will do it. They'll reach a deal, but the thing is, the Patriots got the franchise tag leverage, and next year it might be less than $25 million to tag them. So if he wants an extension with the Patriots and is in 2020, it's going to be more likely on the Patriots' terms than on Cam Newton's terms. So if a deal does come about this year, folks, I've said it before on this podcast. I think the Patriots are going to win a Super Bowl with Bill Belichick and the seventh Super Bowl with Bill Belichick. If they do this extension this year with Cam Newton, it's going to be more likely team-friendly, and that allows the team to keep on building, getting more assets next year and in future years to help them win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. I think that's great insight, Miguel. And bottom line, you know, we've seen Tom Brady do that year after year, take a little bit less for the betterment of the team. Cam Newton definitely seems like he's in that vein. A lot of people probably did not believe that would be the case, but go ahead.
I don't get this idea that Cam Newton's about the money when he signed a deal at the time he signed a deal. He could have waited till at least if he was going to say he'll sign the Patriots, he could have waited till July 16th. He would have known how much cap space the Patriots would have had after Joe Tooney, because Patriots could have traded Joe Tooney and freed up like $14 million in cap space.
Right.
All right. So I don't get that kind of thinking about Cam Newton's about the money. He wouldn't have signed it. If he was about the money, he wouldn't have signed the deal. Or at least he would have waited 2 weeks to see how much money cap space the Patriots had. So I disagree with that notion strongly. And let's move on.
No, I do. I do as well. And the reason why I do is because it came directly from Cam's mouth. Look, I think a lot of times the lines between perception and reality can be blurred. You and I see it all the time, Miguel. People think they have an opinion, and then all of a sudden things change. And Cam has come right out and said it. Look, I've made my money. This is about respect. And I truly believe that when it comes to Cam. I don't think he's posturing or playing for the camera. This is truly how he feels. And that's why I feel optimistic. And you've laid out some really, really good scenarios on this. And I really appreciate you taking the time to answer that question, because it is a very common one that we get in Patriots Nation. Another one, my friend, and maybe even a little bit more immediate, is the NFL trade deadline is approaching on November 3rd.
Yes.
And Patriots fans are usually convinced each year that the team is going to trade for a big name. Last year, it happened to be Stephon Diggs. We heard about a little on Odell Beckham Jr. This year, Julio Jones, A.J. Green seem to be the big names. I've even heard the last couple of days, John Ross being bandied about. Trade scenarios are fun. We all like them. We like them in the media here. Fans love them.
Yep.
It's part of the speculation that goes into the NFL season. But they also can be complex, especially from a financial standpoint. I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you who the Patriots might trade for. I think it's a little hard to pinpoint that. If you have some feelings on it, by all means. But
okay.
I'm a little bit more interested in what considerations go into making a trade in the NFL. And because of the type of season 2020 has been, with all the COVID regulations and things of that nature, lack of practice time, do you think we're going to see more action this year or less action this year at the trade deadline?
I think we're going to see less action. And the reason I say that is Bill Belichick in a press conference earlier this week has talked about how long it takes to get a new player in into the system. They have close to a week. So if you trade for a player Tuesday, all right, or a Tuesday, that's the trade deadline, there's not a good chance he's going to play that following Sunday. All right? So it's best, I think it's going to be less trades, or if it's going to be trades, it's going to be more likely not on November 3rd, but probably a week before then, just to get that player in. All right? And that actually helps the Patriots in this regard, because they have a ton, they have one of the league leaders in cap space. All right? Therefore, they can take on more weeks of the player's salary. All right? Because when the trade deadline you have, there's going to be 9 weeks left of the salary. The season, so you're taking 9 weeks of the player's salary. If the Patriots trade for a player on Monday, they have to pick up 11 weeks worth of salary. That gives them an advantage of a player trying to acquire a player with a large salary versus most of the league. I just read this article on The Athletic this morning. They had some great names out there. The name I'm thinking about was that they might acquire. Is last name is Roberts. Okay, he plays on for Carolina. He's a punt returner. He's a wide receiver. The other names they threw out was Marcus Golden from the Giants, the linebacker. Interesting, the guy threw out Gerald Everett from the Rams as a tight end. That is a possibility. I would love to see any of those guys on the team. I'll say this, folks, the Patriots can have enough case banks to acquire any player in the league. All right. The question is, does it make sense for the player's team to trade them? And what are you willing to trade? What are you willing to acquire that? All right. And this is not fantasy football. All right. People, it's like there's some cap consequences. Some guy wrote an article about possibly acquiring Matt Ryan this year. Next year. And I just basically said. I don't think the Falcons, it makes sense for the Patriots maybe to get him, all right? But let's look at the Falcons' point of view. They're going to take at least a $44 million cap hit next year if they trade him, all right? And if you believe, and the guy said that Matt Ryan is elite, so why would you take a $44 million dead money cap hit and then still trade an elite player, all right? And so we're talking about big names, but let's think about, like, for Michael Thomas, A.J. Green, Julio Jones. Let's think about why would the team, their team, trade the player? Now, we know, let's start to address Julio Jones. Rich McKay says, we're not going to trade anyone right now because we want the new team, new front office, to decide what the direction of the team is. That pretty much ends any trading of Julio Jones. Let's look at A.J. Green. When was the last time the Bengals made a trade? Carson Palmer. That's it. As far as I've been covering the Patriots salary cap since 2000. I can only remember one time they traded a player during the season, and that was Carson Palmer. They don't have a history. They're cheap, okay? I don't see them. They don't have a history, and they have a small front office. So I don't even know if they have a pro staff like the Patriots do, a pro counting staff like the Patriots do, all right? So I don't even know if they actually would know who on the Patriots to trade for. All right. As for Michael Thomas, I don't see the Saints trading him, A, because the next year it would cost them money on the cap, and they actually did him a favor the way they fined him rather than suspend him. All right, if they suspended him, he would have lost all his guarantees. So that tells me they still want to work with him. So I don't see that. All right, I see the Patriots doing, if they do trade for someone, I think it's more likely to happen before November 3rd, of course I'll be wrong, might probably be wrong, but it'll be some guy that's going to fit their needs, and it's going to be somebody probably with 1 year left in the deal, so if he leaves after this year, they're going to possibly be part of the compensatory pick calculations 2022. Right now, my gut says they're going to trade for either a tight end or a linebacker, all right? So I was really, my eyes popped when I saw Gerald Everett thing. So I hadn't had a chance to look at the cap to see what the calculations are. I'm pretty sure I want to see how long he signed for and stuff like that. That's what I'm going for. As I was going to talk about the trades because I get this all questions. What happens when the Patriots trade for a player? What are they responsible for? They are not responsible for that player's signing bonus proration. So when you go onto a website and you see the player has a 2020 cap number of $10 million and let's say $4 million is signing bonus proration, that's staying with the player's old team. The Patriots are going to be responsible for what salary he has yet to earn. For example, so the player's old team has already paid him for weeks 1 through 5. Patriots would pick on, and now be weeks 1 through 6. Patriots would be responsible if they traded for on Monday for 11 more weeks in the season because players do get paid for the bye week, folks. All right? And then there's any roster bonuses, active roster bonuses that are due. Any players' incentives would get recalculated. All right? So that's the thing. Hopefully I address the issues about trading. I do think they're going to trade. Before the pandemic, Mike, I would have bet my house the Patriots would make an in-season trade. All right, now I wouldn't bet my house now. I might bet like $100, but I wouldn't bet my house now. just because the virus is just so, it's in everything they do now. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, because the other thing about trading a player. If you trade a player, you're trading away a healthy player. And then, you know what I'm saying, that lessens your depth. So you get then have an outbreak of pandemic. There's one less player than you could have had on your team.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I would love to see him make a trade. I mean, I would think if I was, I don't know how many Bills fans listen to this, but if I was a Bills fan, you want them to make a trade because, this could be a year that they could steal a Super Bowl. I mean, I know they just lost to Tennessee, but if they stay, I mean, they can get there. They get lucky a couple of times, boom. They can get to at least to do well in the playoffs.
I would agree with that. I think Buffalo right now is definitely a formidable challenger, not only to the Patriots. I mean, right now they're in the driver's seat for the division title, but I think they're a challenger for the AFC crown as a whole. I think they match up well with Kansas City. They played them tough in the past, so we'll see. The player that you did mention that was interesting and raised my eyebrow a little bit, I know Carolina's been shopping him, Seth Roberts, the wide receiver. That's also a returner as well. Got a little bit of speed, a little bit of a break you know, that that he can provide. So interesting to keep a sharp eye. But I thought you were eloquent in your and very thorough in your assessment of what goes into a trade, what the Patriots would have to do in order to acquire certain players. I'm glad that you mentioned guys like Jones, like A.J. Green, like a Michael Thomas, who I hadn't mentioned previously earlier. Yeah. I think a lot of, you know, fans get that pie-in-the-sky type aspiration to bring these guys in, but sometimes it's just not feasible, and I think that there are a lot that there are a lot of parameters that go into it. And again, I think you've absolutely nailed it. And Miguel, again, this is the reason why we bring you on all the time. You know, you just you are able to not only talk all things salary cap, but you're able to explain it in a manner that us mere mortals can understand. And I can't thank you enough for that. And next here on Locked On Patriots, folks, Miguel is not done quite yet, because in a segment that is unique to this podcast, Miguel will address some of those cap myths floating around out there and even drop some pearls of wisdom you can only hear right here on Locked On Patriots. Don't miss Miguel setting the record straight next when the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. Folks, again, Miguel Benzon, the Pats cap himself, joins me here on the Locked On Patriots podcast. And once again, my friend, I cannot thank you enough for providing insight that you can only find here on Locked On Patriots. Miguel, you've already broken down a potential Cam Newton extension, some activity at the trade deadline, what that means for the Patriots in the short term, what it might mean for them in the long term, and you've done it eloquently and concisely, and I can't thank you enough for that. But one of my favorite parts of having you join me here on the pod, buddy, is your ability to identify some of those cap reports out there that might be erroneous, or even give you the opportunity and the floor to provide some pearls of wisdom that you can only find here on Locked On Patriots. Once again, my friend, first, are there any salary cap myths out there that you would like to dispel here today? Oh. And the floor is yours to drop any and all pearls of wisdom we would love to hear right here on Locked On Patriots. Have at it, buddy.
First, okay, right now, because we got the Patriots got 8 players on IR, let's just talk about it. All right, it's 3 games, not 3 weeks, that the player comes on. It's and our folks, I send out that tweet like once a week now, and I feel like I should do it on every day. It's 3 games, not 3 weeks, and I know people say it. I guess it was on the radio. All right, I tweeted it out 2 or 3 times this week. I got a screenshot of the PDF. It is 3 games. I can't stress that more enough, folks. I don't. If the people on the radio get it wrong, go to the screenshot. Trust me, and I shared a link where it came from. I know you can't believe everything you hear on the radio. You can't believe it. That's why I tweet out the screenshot. Don't trust me. Don't even take me on my word. All right. I shared the screenshot. All right. It's 3 games, not 3 weeks. And we talked about the trade thing. All right. This player signing bonus doesn't go with the Patriots. All right. So that's another thing I wanted to address. Another lesson now is going one of my favorite parts is sharing stuff, knowledge that I only going to do on this podcast. All right, I'm not going to put it on the Twitter or anything. All right, because I love coming on Mike's show. He's a great friend of mine, so I like doing this part. All right, so here's one thing I wanted to share with you, couple things. All right, remember Stephon Gilmore? All right, players had an off-season workout bonus. All right. He was the only Patriot veteran who everyone else maxed out their money. He only earned $940 a workout. So that tells me he only attended the mini camp, the mandatory mini camp. Otherwise, he didn't attend anything else. Every other veteran went to 35 sessions. He only attended 4 because they earned $235 per off-season workout session, which is like my friend's. Can't believe the players get paid to work out, all right? The other thing I wanted to say that's kind of new to this year is that even the rookies earn money working out this year, and that money hit the cap, all right? So, for example, all the rookies, all the drafters earned some money this year, and I got to hit my – hold on a minute. My computer hit the screen share, but just came on. All right. So that's 2 things I wanted to share. Now we talked about the 2021 cap, all right? And I wanted to talk about what I think the number is right now. All right? So the league 2021 league cap is projected to be $175 million. I expect the Patriots to roll over $20 million of the $23 million they have over, because they're still gonna. So between replacing players who go on IR, you got your practice squad elevations, you got people earning, not likely to be earned, active roster bonus. I still think they're gonna lose some cap space the rest of the year. So I expect them to, let's just run round numbers, $20 million. Okay. Now here's something I'm just gonna just drop. We'll say this later on Twitter, but not today or not this week. This not this month. All right. Why my number for the cap space is so much different than what other people say. All right. I expect them to lose $5 million in cap space next year because players are gonna earn some incentives. And what players do I think are gonna earn incentives? All right. Cam Newton. Demir Byrd, John Simon, Rex Burkhead. They all have non-likely to be earned incentives that if they earn them, the Patriots are going to lose some cap space, get debited on their cap space in 2021. All right? I don't expect them to earn their not likely to be earned incentives. Like, I don't expect Edelman to get 100 receptions. All right? So the Patriots are going to get credit. So, but the net will be a negative five. My thing be a negative $5 million. And that's even with, I don't think Gilmore's going to get the defensive player of the year. And that's with a credit of $2 million. And I think the Patriots will get a $2 million credit. And that negative $5 million even includes that. All right. And I'm including that $5 million. And I'm saying like they got to get credit for some of the players, like the undrafted players who've got guaranteed salary. For example, Isaiah Zuber, J.J. Tyler, Miles Bryant. They got guaranteed salaries on UDFA deals. They already matched. The Patriots are going to get a credit for all that guaranteed money next year. All right? So, and then they'll get the longer that Bill Murray's on the seat on the practice squad, Jake Bird's on the practice squad, Rashad Berry's on the practice squad, the Patriots will get credit for that for next year. All right? But right now, I'm going to use the number negative $5 million. So let's just use that. So that takes us, if we get all that, and I have them with commitments about $138 million for 2021 if you presume that they have a 51-man roster in March like they always do, all right? That gives them about $52 million in cap space, all right? But that's before any trades, restructures, pay cuts. You know, you're tendering J.C. Jackson, that's about $5 million. You may have not have tagged Cam Newton, all right? So the $52 million sounds like a lot of money. But that, I mean, you can create some more cap space by getting rid of some guys. But there's not like that $100 million. People still tweet at me like the people Patriots have going to have $100 million in cap space next year. That's from a number from February before the pandemic. People remember that from before the pandemic and think nothing has changed between now and October. I'm like, come on, folks. All right. So right now I got them at 52, but that's before the cuts. They're in great cap space, all right? I'll say this. You want Patriots right now one of the league leaders in cap space for 2021. Each week that goes by helps the Patriots in terms of the cap, because if they cancel the season or postpone games, each team then gets the credit on that unpaid salary on their cap. And then, therefore, it wipes out the Patriots' advantage in cap space in 2021. All right. I said this before, and I'll just repeat myself. I know I said this on a prior podcast, so I hate to repeat myself, but I know you've got to be getting more new listeners, so I just wanted to say that out there. Okay? Okay?
Any type of wisdom and counsel you can provide to our listeners, we are absolutely thrilled to death to have it. And believe me, we do have some new listeners. And each time you come on the podcast, we gain new listeners here at Locked On Patriots. And I can't thank you enough for that. But most of all, just being able to provide the information that you provide to Patriots Nation, whether it's on this podcast or any other medium, it's appointment listening, bud. And you absolutely hit the nail on the head each and every time. I can't thank you enough. And thank you for both setting the record straight and using Locked On Patriots as the vehicle by which you wanted to provide those pieces of information that you haven't even shared on Twitter. My honor, my privilege as always, buddy. But I won't let you go today just quite yet because we do have a game coming up on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
God willing, we're all hoping we finally get this.
Oh, cross my fingers.
Third time's the charm. We hope that it's going to happen. But assuming everything works out the way we hope and that the Patriots and Broncos do end up hooking up on Sunday at 1 p.m., just gut reaction. How do you feel about this game? What are you looking to see from the Patriots? And even feel free to drop a game prediction if you'd like. Whether or not that includes a score is up to you. But what are your thoughts on this game coming up Sunday?
I'm expecting a chippy game. I think the Broncos are going to be mad at the Patriots, take out their frustration with the NFL on the Patriots. I'm expecting some after the whistle stuff going on. The Patriots are a more talented team. They should win 31-14. All right. I'm excited about this team. And you had asked, I think you asked Clazzy Claire or someone earlier this week about their favorite play of the year. For me, it was the Edelman longs, the long passes of Edelman. Because I was like, wow, that's a great, the interesting play call. Love it. That kind of creativity I would love to see on Sunday. 31-14, I expect a lot of James White, Rex Burkhead. I just like it. And I'll say this other thing, going back to the incentives thing. Man, Jonathan Jones, he can make some money this year with through incentives. Because playing time, because he is, holy cow! I looked that up and like, wow! I was like, the Patriots are playing a lot of cornerback, a lot of cornerbacks on the field at the same time, and that just benefits Jonathan Jones to his liking, because he can earn up to $1.2 million in playing time incentives, and he can earn all of that this year.
Yeah, and it's well-deserved, too. Jonathan has been great in the slot. There have been a couple of moments here with coverage, questionable, but all in all, he does do a tremendous job. In my opinion, one of the best. I think you can make the argument that he is among the best slot corners in the NFL. So, great piece of information, and we're very like-minded. I'm not quite going to give my score just yet. In just a moment here on Locked On Patriots, I'll reveal my prediction, but we're very like-minded and probably right along the same line. So, again, my friend, what can I say? I thank you so much for coming on today. Folks, I call him the great and powerful Wizard of Benzon. He never disappoints. When his wisdom and counsel graces the airwaves here on Locked On Patriots, I couldn't be more honored, more humbled. Again, I say that I'm always grateful for you coming on to Locked On Patriots and lending those pearls of wisdom that you can only find here. But my greatest blessing is being able to call you a friend. I really, truly mean that, buddy. I encourage you all, follow Miguel at PatsCap on Twitter. I call him the Top Gun. He is the Top Gun, folks. I say it all the time, the plaque for the alternates, it doesn't exist because he has no equal. I encourage you, buddy, stay safe, stay well.
Thank you.
We look forward to having you back here on the pod very soon. Please, any closing thoughts for our listeners before I let you go today, buddy?
Yeah, I just want to say a couple of things. I've been on the show usually on Fridays. Tanya Ray Fox is always usually on Fridays. I just want to wish her good luck. I know she's been having some tough time on Twitter. I just wanted to let her know I support her. And Clazzy Claire, you've been doing a great job. I thought your podcast yesterday, your guest visit was spot on. Love your accent. Love your laugh. Keep on writing the right good stuff. All right? Take care, everyone. And I don't expect the Patriots to win a Super Bowl this year. I do expect them to win a Super Bowl in the near future. Okay, and I just want to clear that up. I had a tweet out there where I thought I said, I love the way that the direction the team was playing, and I think people took it as I thought they were going to win a Super Bowl this year. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl this year, folks. I do think they're going to win a 7th Super Bowl with Bill Belichick. I think it's going to be in the future. I just want to clear that up.
Absolutely, buddy. From your lips to God's ears, for those of us that do believe in that, I completely, completely agree. I hope that is the case. We all do here in Patriots Nation. But bottom line, when you've got Bill Belichick stoking the sidelines and in the front office, you have to like your chances each and every year. So I echo your statements, by the way, both on Tanya Ray Fox and on Clazzy Claire L. Cooper, two of our favorites here on Locked On Patriots, and two that are such great contributors, and we look forward to having them
them both back on the airwaves here very shortly. But again, my friend, what can I say? Have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay well. And thanks again for all you do for Locked On Patriots, bud, and all you do for Patriots Nation. We couldn't get by without you.
Thanks. Thank you. Take care and stay safe, everyone. God bless.
And so, Patriots fans, that concludes our work week here on the Locked On Patriots podcast, but there's still plenty more news to come. Most importantly, whether this game against the Denver Broncos and the New England Patriots, scheduled for Sunday, 1 p.m. at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, will actually take place. Please be sure to keep a sharp eye on my Twitter account, at MDABATEFPC, as well as the Locked On Patriots Twitter account, at LO_Patriots, for the very latest breaking news that might develop over the weekend. In the meantime, it's hard to provide a game prediction when we still don't know which Patriots player has tested positive, whether or not it's multiple players, and who they might be without for Sunday's game. I had originally gone on record by saying I thought the Patriots would win this contest 31-21 over the Denver Broncos. The return of Cam Newton, the return of Stephon Gilmore, give both the offense and the defense the shot in the arm it needed in order to pull off the home victory. Should this game take place Sunday as scheduled, I'm sticking with my prediction for a 31-21 Patriots victory. But as I said to open the pod today, a lot can change between now and then. So to ensure that you do not miss a single second of the action or any of the latest news, notes, and analysis from Foxborough regarding your New England Patriots, be sure to download Locked On Patriots wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe and follow us on platforms such as Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Just make sure that you're staying locked in to Locked On Patriots. Once again, my name is Mike DeBate. I thank my good friend, the Pats cap himself, Miguel Benzon, for his time, his insight, and his appearance on today's pod. But most of all, I thank you all so much for listening and for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. Until Monday, pending any breaking news, of course, stay safe, stay well, continue to be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great weekend, everyone, and hopefully enjoy the game on Sunday.